Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This is our Legend Show, and we have back on our returning guest, Amanda Brinkman. She's one of our favorites. Amanda, welcome back to Success.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. Glad to be here.
It's nice to hear your voice again. I'm going to do a brief bio and then let you fill in the gaps on this. But when we talk to legendary people, I think you're sort of emblematic of all of them, because here you are, a mom, a wife, chief brand officer of a deluxe, wonderful company called Deluxe, also creator, producer, host of a hit series called Small Business Revolution. Then you volunteer for Special Olympics, Feed My Starving Children, Habitat for Humanity. And I want to know, where do you store your red cape at night?
Yeah. I've definitely found, especially coming out of COVID and the year that we've all been through, that I do find the more I have going on, the more productive I am. So I'm craving getting back to more of a normal balance to life. So, yeah.
I like that, Amanda. You know, in the past, we've talked about some of your philosophy, and I think it's worth repeating, especially on this Legend Show, about your philosophy of do well by doing good. Tell our listening audience about that.
Well, I just really believe in the space of business, we always kind of think of the two categories mutually exclusive, like either you're a company that makes money or you're a nonprofit that does good. And I think that those lines are just becoming more and more blurred. And I think consumers are wanting that from the brands that they support. They want to see how that brand or company is doing something that makes a difference in the world beyond the products or services that they sell. And so I love focusing on that in my career. You know, how can you kind of really identify a company's brand purpose and then determine a very unique and specific brand action that makes a difference in the lives of your customers, again, beyond just selling them things. So I'm just passionate that those two things can mutually exist, should coexist, and that, you know, with a little bit of thought and care, a brand can just mean more in the world than, again, just making money. I think that they can use their platform and resources to make a difference.
Yeah, I do too. Amanda, with your presence today, would you take a few minutes to give a State of the Union address on small businesses across the U.S. and how are we looking post COVID-19?
So many states are kind of still just coming out of it, and a lot of small businesses are still feeling the effects of the not just quarantining and stay-at-home orders, but just safety precautions. So for your listeners who might not be familiar, I host a TV show called Small Business Revolution, where each season we revitalize a different community's main street through its small businesses. It's essentially a small business makeover show, but with heart. We're there to walk alongside these business owners, help them with the things that don't always come naturally to entrepreneurs, things like marketing and their finances, maybe some operations, all while telling their story, because we just really believe that when you hear a small business owner's story, you know, why they started their business, what's hard about running their business, what they're doing in their community beyond running their business, I think you personify that and you recognize that you have power in where you spend your dollars. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to create a movement to get more people to understand the importance of supporting small businesses. So as it relates to the State of the Union, I think people are recognizing how disproportionately COVID-19 and the pandemic affected small businesses, and they really want to find the ways that they can support those small businesses, and they want to get back to going to those local coffee shops and restaurants and supporting local retailers. And I really applaud Americans. I think we all worked real hard to figure out how to still do that, even if there were safety precautions in place or the businesses had to change how they were delivering what they do. But, you know, it was on the shoulders of small businesses to make that as easy as possible for consumers to support them. And I think some of those habits, thinking through your digitization as a business and thinking about what you do beyond selling things, but the role you play within your community, all of these things are kind of heightened coming out of COVID, but I think they're going to last. And I think small businesses are just recognizing that they have to think about their business a little bit differently moving forward. But I think some of the aftermath is good. It's healthy for the businesses. And so we're all looking forward to small businesses getting back to a little bit more sense of normalcy. But I hope they hold on to some of those things that they were kind of forced to adopt, when COVID first hit.
Yeah, we do too. We hope that there is a stronger sense of community. Mm-hmm. And with that, maybe more loyalty to local businesses. Is that a pipe dream?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I think, the number one thing businesses had to really focus on during COVID was, again, their online presence and thinking through, for a long time there, your digital footprint was your storefront. People had to be able to find you online in order to support you. And I think that digitization and just thinking about your presence online is something that we've always stressed that small businesses should focus on. And I think they came to believe us more during the past year and really recognize the importance. So I think we'll see that, and we'll see that continue to accelerate. But I think you're right, kind of around that empathy. I think people really, they're looking for companies and businesses that are doing something that has a very strong identifiable purpose. And so I think people want to support small businesses in that way. I think we're also seeing small businesses recognize that they really need to focus on their finances a little bit differently. So many businesses run with very little kind of capital in reserve, and we saw that those resources dried up very, very quickly during the pandemic. So I think businesses are going to be a bit more conservative about how they approach their finances, and also thinking about kind of tightening their business to really optimize their processes, but also the things that they offer. They can't be everything to everyone, but focusing on kind of more profitability in the short and long term. And I think that's really healthy for businesses. But then I think you're right. I think more consumers are really just going to be prioritizing shopping small, because I think we're just recognizing that some of our most beloved small businesses that they make our neighborhoods and communities unique. I think we recognize that we don't want them to shut down. How do we support them to get through this so that they're there on the other side?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, Amanda, recently we read a book called Aligning the Dots, and it's by Dr. Philippe Bousseau, who's a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. And the reason why I'm bringing it up today is because I think you've got your pulse on America's small businesses. And the book talks about four different alignment axes, and they're as simple as pain to claim, perception to message, purchase to sell, and delight to offering. And the book claims, because Philippe worked for Steve Jobs, that your business that we are all in should be about delighting the customer, not selling some software or services. We should be about delighting the customer. And he talks about this misalignment that takes place, especially with small businesses who don't identify a pain point for a consumer and then write the proper claim. So they totally miss what the real painkiller is. From your perspective, why do you think that there is some misalignment out there with small businesses between them and their ultimate customer?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think it's usually because of the way a business started. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a passion for something. Maybe it's making croissants, or it's childcare, or it's cutting hair. And so they kind of start out with the space of, like, I'm good at this thing. How can I, turn it into a business and offer it to others? But every business, small or large, has to continue to think about the customer experience. And I think you're absolutely right. It's about really delighting your customers. And we also saw that during the pandemic, that the businesses that figured out, consumer habits are different right now. People are staying home. The space of home means something different. Family time means something different. How can I pivot my business and what I offer to enhance that experience? Rather than making it something more accommodating, how do I make it better for folks? How do I, package my food in a way that people can make it at home with their family in a delightful way? How can I package my art kit instead of them coming in and taking a class? How can they do that at home with their kids? Really just thinking about how do you kind of contribute to making someone's life better, or bring them delight to the words that you use. And I think that that's where we saw businesses be successful, is where they recognize it as a consumer insight opportunity rather than something that they were just having to try to react to or accommodate.
Very good. I really appreciate that. We're talking with the legendary leader, Amanda Brinkman, who has all these wonderful roles in her life. And we're going to shift over to the fun side of the legendary show. And we did not give Amanda any of these questions, so this is pure spontaneity, or combustible spontaneity, as a lot of our guests call it. So this is a broad variety of questions that we ask on the legendary show. You've never been asked these before, I don't think, by me. So ready for this, Amanda?
Okay, here we go.
All right, here we go. Which is more important to you, actual experiences or the memories that remain?
That is so interesting. I think actual experiences. I think throughout my life, I'm on this journey to try and be more and more present. You know, we used to not be as distracted as we are now as humans and as a society. And I think what I'm always trying to focus on is, in order to build those memories, you know, I'm saying both, in order to build those memories, you really have to learn how to be present and be in the moment and take it for what it is and be grateful for the breath in your lungs and the fact that you're experiencing what you are. So I think in constant pursuit of trying to be more present and really fully experience things, I'd choose the experiences.
Ah, good, 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 good. And by the way, there's not a right answer to that. Okay, so to that end, tell us about your singular favorite family vacation that you've ever taken.
Two summers ago, so 2019, we took the classic road trip through, kind of South Dakota and Mount Rushmore and out to Yellowstone, and just seeing the country in that way was really, really interesting. Learning more about the history of the plight of indigenous cultures and their experience, and just kind of seeing that through the eyes of my daughter and kind of reckoning that. It was a real special trip, and there's nothing like a good road trip, too, to just kind of create these memories that are unexpected. And I think that's where we find delight in life, is it that delta between expectations and real experience. And sometimes when things surprise us or we're not expecting something, is where you have these moments that you could never fabricate or create if you tried. And so we just had a real delightful time on that trip as a family. So I think that would be my favorite.
It sounds like the next reality TV show called The Brinkmans on the Road.
I like it. I like it. I'll get the pitch deck pulled together.
Okay, next question. What do your friends or family bring out in terms of the best in you?
I think they bring out my humor. I love kind of this intersection between, I'm not like very good at telling stories or jokes per se, but I feel like I really enjoy the intersection of wit, so kind of bringing smarts to sarcasm, but in a kind way. So I think whenever I'm spending time with friends and family, I like to laugh. And so I'm looking forward to spending more time with friends and family now as again, we kind of emerge from this year of isolation.
Oh, that's good. Okay, and so because this is basically a legendary business podcast, we must ask you, it's 2021, how would you define success now?
Gratitude. I think really recognizing that we just did something remarkable as human beings. We just went through something, not to use an overused word, but unprecedented. None of us have been through something like a global pandemic the way this affected the entire world, and it was a shared experience. And I think success is coming out of that, not forgetting what we just learned. There were hard lessons, there were silver linings, but it was a kind of a shared experience, and it was hard. A lot of the time was very, very difficult for many, many people. And I think just kind of coming out of it, feeling some pride that we did it. We somehow pulled ourselves through it, and and figured out how to continue to grow, even in a very difficult time where we didn't all have the capacity to kind of, you know, understand how to navigate what just happened to us. And so I think success looks like gratitude and not forgetting what we just learned, but sure being grateful for things that we used to take for granted, like, you know, seeing friends and family in person and smiling at strangers and all of those things. I think just being grateful for those things that we probably never really stopped to think about before.
What a fresh outlook. That's a brand new definition we'd never heard. I'll throw a curve at you. I read a quote recently. I would love to get your comments on this one. Success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking that they can't lose. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love that. I love that very much. Because I think especially as we're continuing to do the work as a society of understanding kind of social justice and understanding just our place and our role in society, I think when I stop to think about things like white privilege or experiences that I've had, you're right. You kind of start to chalk up like the things you've accomplished as somehow wholly you're responsible for. But there are all these things that, and systems that were in place that allowed for those successes. So, yeah, I think we would learn far more through struggle than we do through success. I think that's what we're seeing after this past year and a half. It wasn't just we're seeing kind of this reawakening around social injustice and racial injustice and how do we move forward and be a part of the solution. And we kind of almost had to hit rock bottom in a way in order to grow and heal and make amends and do things better. So I think you're right. When things are going well, you don't grow as much because you just think, I'll just keep doing more of the same. And I think we're really recognizing after the last year, how do we move forward? How do we be better as people to each other? And so, yeah, that is a very interesting quote. I like that.
It's so different. All right, Amanda, you know why we chose you to be on the Legendary show today?
I don't. But I like how you keep referring to me that way. That's very kind. You're making my week.
Good. Just speaking authentically like we normally do and cutting through the BS, I'm trying to find individuals that I think have blown away success and have moved into a significance level. And I'm sitting here wondering why you don't think you're a great storyteller. I think that's one of your greatest benefits, features, core skills, because you tell this story about small businesses and communities across the United States. And while you may not write all of that, you have been the visionary behind it. And you're doing so many things that go beyond being a successful business executive and a leader that go into family and go into helping your community. And I'd like for you to close out today's show just by giving a word of encouragement to others that maybe they can find that inner light like you have to do something that goes way beyond our normal definition of success.
Oh, thank you for blessing me with those words. That was very, very kind. I think it's about we're all on this planet to make each other's lives better in whatever way better means for that other person. And we've all been blessed with specific skills and resources and place and stature in life to uniquely affect that goodness for other people. And we don't all need to, again, run nonprofits or volunteer 24/7 to make the lives of those around us better. And so I think it's about recognizing what are you uniquely suited to do? What are your skills? We need all the skills at the table to make any sort of seismic change. And so you can't have everyone just be visionaries or speakers. You can't have everyone just doing the work on the ground. You need the full body of work. And so think about what comes naturally to you, what your skill set is, what passion you have when you hear about a particular cause or injustice, what keeps you up at night, and figure out how to apply those skills against that particular passion. And I think, again, we need all kinds of skills to make real change. And so you've been blessed specifically with a skill set that is needed against the thing that matters to you. And so trying to kind of find that intersection is, I think, how you unlock that.
Mm. Legendary words from a legendary heart. Thank you, Amanda. And listen, let's wrap this up. Tell our listening audience where they can watch this wonderful show, and where can they find out more about your great company, Deluxe?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. Yeah, so the past 5 seasons of the Small Business Revolution are on Hulu, Prime Video, or if folks don't have those 2 platforms, you can watch it for free at smallbusinessrevolution.org or SBR.org. You can learn more about Deluxe at deluxe.com. We do a whole range of things, like we're a technology company supporting small businesses, enterprise, and financial institutions. And I hope people tune in the fall. We're in the midst of filming season 6. We actually brought the Small Business Revolution back home to Minneapolis and St. Paul, and we're featuring all Black-owned businesses and entrepreneurs and telling the positive side of the incredible entrepreneurs we have here in the Twin Cities, and really just celebrating what an impactful role these small businesses have within their communities, the ripple effect that you feel when you support small businesses, which has always been the thesis of the show, but we're really excited about the focus this year.
Thank you, Amanda. We'll have you back on again. We love talking to legends like you. Okay, you can go back and put your red cape on again, okay?
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great talking to you. That was Amanda Brinkman, Chief Brand Officer of Deluxe and so much more. This show that she has, Small Business Revolution, it's one of our favorites. And so is Deluxe. Talk about a company that has transformed itself to helping others and being community-oriented. And remember, Deluxe used to be a check company, and now it's so much more. You know, they did exactly what Amanda said, and that's they found their purpose and their core skills, and they're doing it all the right way. One of our favorite companies. Listen, thanks to our sponsor of this program, Edward Jones Financial Advisors, for their great support of this network. Our particular financial advisor, and I'm going to sound like Paul Harvey here with a personal testimony, is Serban Maracini, S-E-R-B-A-N, period. Maracini at edwardjones.com. That's his email address, serban.maracini@edwardjones.com. One of the world's greatest guys, financial advisors, navigators, rudders, all these other metaphors that you can call out, who's helped us and our organization grow fast and forward, especially over the last couple of turbulent years. Make sure and contact him. Also, thanks to Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, America's favorite encouragement greeting card company. You can go to gracefully-yours.com today, get 25% off any of your greeting card purchases. Just put in the promotional code BOOK3, that's B-O-O-K-3, and they will honor that just for you listening and supporting to success. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining us. As we always say, may you move from ordinary to extraordinary. Have a great week.